Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Steph Curry wins tonight. That would give him as many rings as Jamal Wilkes.
Curry, left wing three, walked into it. Perfect!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Let the celebration begin.
Beginning of the season, nobody thought we'd be here.
I think this is the one that they can point to that banner and be most proud of.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Basketball Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady. Former Late Late Show host Craig Kilborn, plus your phone calls, what's more likely, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Folks, Craig Kilborn's on his way to the studio, and that's so awesome. And Tracy McGrady's just walking into the studio, and he's going to join us in about 20 minutes' time, and that's awesome. I feel like I'm back into the mode of
Chris Farley.
It's awesome.
Remember that one time? You dunked on...
We have 2 hours left on this program and two in studio guests, and it's so awesome. And got your phone calls to take, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Albert Breer just joined us. How about him saying in hour number one that the Panthers and Browns have talked about Baker Mayfield, and the Browns have put on the table an offer to eat half of Mayfield's salary in order to make it happen, and that deal didn't go down.
Yeah, so what are we waiting for?
Like, what we're waiting for is for more of a discount, and what we're waiting for is maybe a better picks package, or maybe the Browns are still thinking holding on to him for Deshaun Watson insurance, because that situation gets crazier and worse every day. Certainly every day that it passes and you read more transcripts from depositions that happened already, and you're hearing about more lawsuits coming and what that will bring about in depositions, and Watson saying he wants to fight every last one of them. And you're like, okay, man, go clear your name. And then you get ask him a question about how his name can be cleared and what he's done and what he says to people who need an answer from him on some of these subject matters. And he's so bad at explaining himself. Word salads and making zero sense when it's a very simple answer to these questions that he's being asked. Like, hell no, I didn't do that. 66 masseuses? Are you out of your mind? And it's just like, no, you got to ask my lawyer. It's tough to answer that question in a football. You know, I just came off a football field, and, you know, males and females around the world, I apologize to people around the world and so on and so forth. It's ridiculous. And yet he's still there. And now things are kind of going to be quieter between – we're now in the quiet period. This is when coaches and front office members usually go out and go on vacation and get married and things like that. Because mini camps are done and everybody goes back to their corners, and we'll see them again in training camp. And the next 3-4 weeks about whatever's going on with Deshaun Watson in the league is going to be playing out behind the scenes. And we're going to get an answer. Because the Browns need one, the fans need one, the league needs one, and the answer is right now, put him on the commissioner's exempt list. He gets paid, he doesn't play, we try to figure this out, everybody goes back to their corners, Jacoby Brissett starts, and then Mayfield winds up in either Seattle or Carolina. And there's Jimmy Garoppolo. Nobody's talking about James G sitting out there.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Nobody is.
He's sitting out there. I think everybody's waiting to see if the Niners just flat out release him. Mm-hmm. Because as I told you, this is Trey Lance's gig. It is Trey Lance's gig. He's getting the snaps. He's getting the reps. They are going to go forth with Trey Lance up there. So that's what Albert Breer said. Anything else that you might have missed about Lamar Jackson and his thoughts on the latest with Deshaun Watson, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that. Tracy McGrady going to be joining us in about 15 minutes time now. And Craig Kilborn at the top of the next hour, hanging out with Killer. We will go down memory lane right there. All Rise, Turzo in Iowa is on the phone right now. What's up, Turzo?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Rich and Chris. Hey, happy Father's Day, guys. I wanted to throw that out there to you.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Right back at you.
So, Rich.
Thank you.
So, Rich, one of the things about these NBA playoffs that I kind of really disliked and I thought kind of took away from a lot of it was the gaps in between each game. I think it took away a lot of momentum for a lot of the drama that we were actually seeing. I know that it might have helped with some of the fatigue that Boston was going through, but I just, as a fan standpoint, it just kind of seemed to take away from everything.
Well, I thought the quick turnaround between games 3 and 4 were going to crush the Warriors. That was just a one-game break between a third Wednesday and a Friday game, and I thought that was going to crush Golden State because, you know, Curry was down in a heap in game 3, and they're the older team, and I thought the younger team would come back and win that game 4, or at least have a better shot of it. And then the Warriors just showed you that they are the champs for a reason, man. They just showed you they are champs for a reason. They won the last 3 games of a series against a team that had yet to lose back-to-back games in the playoffs, and they lost back-to-back-to-back. And, you know, experience took over, and the young team that made the most turnovers wound up losing. And thanks for the call, Terzo. I appreciate it. Let's go to another regular of our program, Jimmy in San Antonio. What's up, Jimmy? How you been?
¿Cómo estás? I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Hello, what's on your mind, man?
Jimmy? I want to weigh in on the coaching Mount Rushmore. But first, I know you loved Welcome Back Carter, right?
Of course.
Hey, Mr. Yeah. Carter,
and
so
how did he end every show? Julie, have I ever told you a story?
Mm-hmm.
Have I ever told you the story about me hitting on Doris Burke at a WNBA game and Michael Cooper coaching the Sparks and laughing at me?
If I had popcorn, I'd be preparing it right now, Jimmy.
Talk to me, Jimmy.
Doris Burke is underrated hot in person, people. She is beautiful. And I kept hitting on her and, you know, making jokes. And Cooper's looking at me like, what are you doing, dude? And eventually she says, who are you? And I said, have you heard of the internet site Ask Jeeves?
Yes!
Jimmy, call back!
Jimmy with a 3 days ago callback.
Phenomenal.
Is really just amazing. And, you know, for those who may not know what Jimmy's referring to, it was a line that TJ said he used to try and pick up on women, that he created the website Ask Jeeves, even though he did not.
Didn't.
Jimmy, that's next level material right there.
How'd it work for you, Jimmy?
I learned it from you guys. All right.
Yeah, I thought he was going all Drake coaching on us there for a second. All right, what else you got?
Okay, on the Mount Rushmore. I'll tell you other stories, but Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Guys, Pop doesn't go anywhere. You have your 4 words today, I told you so.
Yes.
Anyone who wants Pop off the Mount Rushmore coaching, I have 4 letters. GTFO. Stop it.
Yep.
Pop is on there.
No, I know. It's just like, who would you take off to put Kerr on? I wouldn't put him on there yet. Magic did.
No.
Maybe that's why Magic wanted to have 5 faces of Mount Rushmore, you know?
He's stingy. He makes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But no, Kerr doesn't belong on the Rushmore yet. He might, but not now.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Kerr is not done. I told you, this Warriors team is far from over. This window is wide open. Like I said, they've got the core 3 together, and Curry's not aging anything but gracefully. And Klay's going to be better and stronger this fall. Draymond is still Draymond Green. Jordan Poole is just phenomenal. Andrew Wiggins has arrived. James Wiseman didn't even play at all. He was the first overall pick from 2 years ago. They've got Kuminga and Moody on the bench with Looney. And they've got a general manager who knows how to put the pieces together. And Kerr's not going anywhere. And they have ownership who says, what luxury tax? Who cares? That is a dangerous combination in the NBA right now.
More likely to get back to the NBA Finals first, Warriors or Celtics.
Is that one of your what's more likely?
No, I just thought of it just now.
I'll go Warriors. I'll go Warriors. Sorry.
I mean, it's a tough road for both teams.
I'll go Golden State. That's a great way to get into it. A Friday staple. What's more likely, right? That was a bonus one. We need one more at the end. You gave me one more at the beginning.
More in the front end.
Well done. Here's what's more likely on the Rich Eisen Show.
What?
What? That's more likely.
Never say never, but never.
Okay, what do you got over there, Christopher?
Hey, Rich, we got all NFL.
Yes!
Where we're just wildly speculating heading into the weekend. It's
you know
super
what I'm looking
duper
for.
Fun.
Okay.
Hey, did you see the Jerry Jones talk? TJ,
what did he talk about, Chris?
Well, it seems like he's always talking about his head coach, even though he has one. And he has one in waiting in his defensive coordinator. But another name came up with Jerry today.
Sean Payton shouldn't be out there. That's an injustice to for him, the Cowboys, all of us. That's just sheer pulling it out of the air. Now, it's well known we're good friends. It's well known that we think a lot of him as coach, know him well, and all of those kinds of things. But in this case, asking the way you're asking it, he shouldn't be a conversation piece. Mike has got an opportunity here to win a Super Bowl, and he's got an opportunity to win other Super Bowls. And so that's really the measurement of it. Not just for me, but it's an eternity between right now and this time next year in our game, and I'm not trying to be dramatic. And so that's what I should dwell on. That's the way this game is structured, where staff is in place for the year. Mike is not only here, but he's in the best position in my mind to lead this team as coach. He is very qualified to win a Super Bowl. And I will tell you, he has the kind of qualities in a person and individually that I really want to work with. And I know his players feel the very same way, and his coaching staff feels the same way. So I feel good about Mike, and it shouldn't be a part of a conversation right now as to where Mike is relative to Rope or where he is relative to Sean Payton. That shouldn't be there. I don't have that there any place in my mind.
A full-throated vote of confidence.
Wow.
All right, where are you going with more likely?
Hey, guys, what's more likely? The Cowboys make the Super Bowl this year, or Sean Payton is Dallas's head coach in 2023? By the way, I wrote this before I heard the sound.
It's Sean Payton's the head coach in 2023. That is what is more likely. I think Sean's one and done at Fox. I think the Saints know it. I think everybody believes that the Miami Dolphins were ready to go in that direction based on all the reporting from Florio to Breer to, you know, reports out of South Florida. I think he's going to be great on television. I think Sean Payton will be recharged. And the question is where is he going? And that's more likely than the Cowboys winning it all this year. As you know, TJ, I have talked myself into saying the Cowboys have taken a step back and that the Eagles, I'm talking myself into the Eagles winning that division. So that's the way we kick off what's more likely. What else you got over there, Chris?
Hey, we heard what Tyreek Hill had to say about the Chiefs and how they think their offense is going to struggle without him. And he was underused, even though he led the team in catches. Kind of a bizarre thing to say, but he was.
And that too is more accurate than Mahomes.
Yeah, he was kicking off a podcast, and Patrick Mahomes admitted he was surprised to hear all those comments. So what's more likely, the Dolphins make the playoffs this year or the Chiefs miss it?
I think it's more likely that the Dolphins make the playoffs. Chiefs aren't missing anything, man. They're going to miss Tyreek Hill, but come on, dude. I think they will still make the playoffs. Thus, it's more likely the Dolphins make it. How's that? If you gave me a choice of which one was more likely to miss it, if we're going to stay in both of those cases, I would say it's more likely the Dolphins miss it than the Chiefs. So, in Mahomes and Reed and Veach and Bieniemy, I still trust. What else?
Panthers continuing.
Oh, good.
To
By the way, did you see how we're changing topics? And Felly changed music.
Been doing that for weeks.
I just noticed it.
Gotta say, like, let's have Felly in here full time.
Oh,
wow,
wow.
Oh man,
he's just so upset with Del Tufo. He's so upset with Del Tufo trolling him.
I'm not saying
about the Celtics.
Like, Boston literally won a championship less than 3 years.
Let's not have that as a what's more likely. What else?
Sam Darnold, they're trying to get a deal done in Carolina for Baker Mayfield, but Sam Darnold will be the starter if they played football today, which, as we know,
yes.
We're not playing NFL games today.
Reported to make a trade offer.
Oh, reportedly,
for
right.
Mayfield.
They're working on the deets. Who starts more games, more likely to start more games in 2022, Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold?
I'll go Baker Mayfield.
Not necessarily for Carolina, just
I'll
start
go Baker
more
Mayfield.
Games.
I will say at the end of the year, who has started more
who has
football
started
games?
More football
I
games.
Will go Baker Mayfield. I don't know where it will be. I believe he will wind up somewhere, and wherever he goes, he's going to get the shot. That's what I'm going to. I believe it. The odds are that Mayfield will show up somewhere else, and wherever he goes, he's going to win it out. If he goes to Seattle, you think Geno's going to beat him out? You think.
I don't.
Drew Locke would beat him out.
I don't think so.
If he goes to Carolina and they make that trade, Darnold will be either gone or shoved down the depth chart to the point where, you know, what are they going to make that trade and then have him loom behind Darnold? No, they're going to.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So that's why I'll say it's more likely that Mayfield starts more games.
All right, I saw this, guys. Atlanta. They have a rookie quarterback, too, even though they have Marcus Mariota. They have Desmond Ridder. Arthur Smith said he's light years ahead of most young quarterbacks.
Yes.
And not experiencing some first-year struggles.
Yes.
Rookie quarterback to have more success this year. Desmond Ridder or Kenny Pickett?
Kenny Pickett starting week one. As you know, I'm talking myself into that, too. Yeah, Desmond Ridder I don't think is going to get run in Atlanta unless two things happen. Mariota gets hurt or Mariota has such a face plant that they are halfway through the season with one win, two wins, and it's time. They just got to get the speed bumps out of the way with Ridder now more than later and rely on his neck up ability to be above what normal rookie quarterbacks have as Arthur Smith just pointed out.
Aren't Ridder and Pickett in the exact same situation?
Which is what?
They're behind a quarterback like who was just, brought in free agency.
Just acquired, right.
Who used to be a starter.
Yeah, a second overall pick.
Yeah, like it's literally the exact same situation.
It is, except the Steelers don't lose seasons. You know?
Don't have losing seasons.
They don't have losing seasons. Yeah, right. They don't have losing seasons. And Pickett's going to get the first week start. Oh, boy, I'm setting myself for another I told you so. I am setting myself up for that. Okay.
All right, last one.
Can I get one more?
Oh.
All right, we'll get one more.
Yeah, just one more. One more quick one. This one's kind of for you, Rich. The two teams in the NFL with the longest playoff droughts, do you know who they are?
They're the Jets and the Lions?
A team that just acquired a new quarterback. Denver Broncos.
Broncos. Are you serious?
11 years for the Jets, 6 years for the Broncos. Who's more likely to end their playoff drought this year?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Well, I mean,
who's more likely? The Denver Broncos are more likely to do that. Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, they are more likely to do that. Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. If you're asking me who's more likely to break their drought.
That's literally what I asked you.
It is a team quarterbacked by a guy who has a Hall of Fame trajectory, if not already a Hall of Fame resume, who has a chip on his shoulder and also has incredibly talented receivers that I still need to see what it looks like. The Jets are still putting it all together. And the Broncos have something already somewhat put together, just add Russ. So come on, if it's a quarterback-driven league, then that's what you got to go. But I still believe in the Jets. And Robert Saleh is a guest on Monday's Rich Eisen Show. Richard Eisen Show.
Richard Eisen.
I just went that way. Because I was known as Richard when I started rooting for the Jets, just like Todd.
Dick Eisen.
Hey, that's what's more likely.
Nice job.
Well done. Well done. Nice. Tracy McGrady's here, right?
T-Mac.
Is Tracy McGrady here? Yes. Can confirm.
You know the last time I saw T-Mac?
Oh.
Don't save it.
I'll save it. I was going to tease it.
For the people. And is Ashton involved?
Ashton is involved.
Yay!
Rich.
Yay! Tracy McGrady. When we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hoops Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
We're back here on our terrestrial radio network on the Rich Eisen Show. Tracy McGrady of the Basketball Hall of Fame that we've all heard of in Springfield, Mass., and the Ones Basketball League, which we're going to talk about, the founder of that, right here in studio. So you were just about to say you think the Warriors are going to go
absolutely
nowhere.
If you look how their team is constructed
here
right now, I think Steph, Clay, even Draymond, I think those guys can come back next season
yes,
and only average like 30, 32 minutes a night. So they can be fresh in the playoffs.
Correct.
The reason being, you got Kuminga, you got Poole, you got Wiggins, you got the young kid, Wiseman.
Yeah, he's coming back.
Coming back. You got Moody. You have five young guys.
Don't forget the mitten also, Gary Payton II. He plays.
So you have five or six, and I don't know if he's going to be back next year.
Sure.
I don't know. But if you keep those five guys, they bring those young boys back mm-hmm. that can play 40 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, Clay, and Draymond can just chill 32 minutes a night and then turn it on in the playoffs because the way they groom these guys,
yes.
the player development, they're going to be really scary.
So I'll ask you the question of the day, which is Steph Curry's legacy, where he stands on the all-time list, greatness, and things of that nature.
Definitely one. I mean, there's no question he's one of the greatest players. If we're talking top 10, mm-hmm. I don't have enough information to take someone out to add Steph in.
Yes.
If he's not top 10, he's knocking on the door. I would say that.
What about for point guards? Although the man who hosts the show before us, Dan Patrick, calls him a points guard, which I found interesting. Not really a point guard.
No, he's not a Chris Paul. He's not a Magic Johnson. Like Draymond to me is more of the facilitator for that team.
Yes.
Steph is a different type of player, different type of point guard
yes.
than those guys. I have him second all time behind Magic. And when we talk about all time, the reason why I don't have him over Magic, look at Magic's career. Magic, the first 9 years, nine out of his 12 years, he was in the finals, right? What he has, three regular season MVPs. He has five championships. He has five MVP final MVPs. He has the all-time assists. 11 all-time assists per game. Steph is right behind Magic. I can't put anybody else ahead of Steph but Magic.
Except so if you just want to cut it off at a height, obviously, you know, you've got Magic at that height and above and
point
below.
Guard.
It's Steph. So what advice, Tracy McGrady, would you give Jason Tatum today?
I would tell him to watch that series over and over and over all summer long and learn from it.
So
watch it over.
Dwell in it is what you're
dwell
saying.
Dwell in it and learn from it. I mean, that's the only thing you could do. Like, don't run away from it, right? Because it's only – you can learn from the film what you did good in that series – and it was a lot of bad. Learn from those bad and turn those into good. And I think he has the ability to do that.
Why do you think he had the turnover issues? Where does that come from? It's just as simple as that.
He's young. He's going up against a team that has all the experience. These guys have no finals experience. He's going up against a team that is really, really experienced. And he's inexperienced. He's 24 years old. He has a chance to be back next year.
So it's just as simple as, did you ever dwell in something like that? Did you ever do what you're advising him to do, which is just...
Listen, I've never played on a championship team. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was, all right, how can I advance in the second round of losing every single year, you know, putting up great numbers? How can I be different coming back in the playoffs next year? And I used to watch series in the offseason of how I could get better. I mean, that's what you do as a basketball player. You don't run away from, you know, a series that you lost. Don't watch it and learn from those mistakes, because it's a learning tool. It helps you for the foreseeable future.
Tracy McGrady here on the Rich Eisen Show. So which young player do you look at in the NBA and say that's the next?
Luka. Yeah, Luka is pretty damn good. He is.
Understatement.
Yeah. Luka, I love watching Luka, because Luka is not the fastest. He's not the quickest. He can't jump over a dollar. Mm-hmm. But skill-wise, like, his skill level is off the charts. He knows how to control the pace of a game. Mm-hmm. He knows how to create space and get his shot off on anybody, whether it's somebody that's bigger, stronger, quicker than him. He just knows how to play the game and control the pace.
On the back end of careers then, what advice would you give Harden right now? James Harden, Tracy McGrady.
To make basketball number one priority. Make winning number one priority. Make 76ers number one priority, right? You're playing with the MVP caliber guy in Joel Embiid, who is, I think, has changed his mind frame on how he's approaching the game now, mm-hmm. and how he sees the game. And he wants to win. And I think if James can be, you know, that solid 20 and 10 type guy that contributes every night for the Sixers, I think they would be right there in the conversation as one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference contending for a championship.
I don't know if it's fair or not, but I've said, and I'll bounce it off you, I think Harden should call Tom Brady. I think he should call and just say, how do you keep at it for as long as you've kept at it? How do I do the Tom Brady TB12 system and just lock in? That's what I'm saying, and get in complete, like, if he showed up, like, rocked out this
you
fall.
Got to understand, Tom Brady has won championships. That's what's keeping Tom Brady going, right? James Harden hasn't won a championship yet.
But Brady's keeping going, and not only because of the fire within, but he's kept, do you think, I'm reading, although I should just ask you the question directly, that Harden's not making he needs to make the Sixers his priority because his other priorities are living life to its fullest. And sometimes that means he's not paying attention to his body 24/7, 365 like Brady does. Yeah. That's what I keep.
And that's what I mean. His priorities, like, you can't come into training camp out of shape, regardless of how you feel about the team and, mm-hmm. and what's been done. Like, your job is to come in shape and be there for your teammates. I think he will do that this offseason. He's in Philly. Philly, you know how Philly fans are.
You cannot play. Right.
You can't play with Philly. So I think he will do that this year, and we'll see how it is. I mean, it didn't go so well. They played half a season. He has an opportunity to have a full summer and have training camp with these guys, gain some chemistry, and we'll mm-hmm. see how it plays out.
Did you ever, Tracy McGrady here on the Rich Eisen Show, so many people are looking at, say, somebody like Damian Lillard right now, and he could write a ticket mm-hmm. if he wants to. Mm-hmm. Hasn't. Did you ever go through that in your career? That if in this day and age of super teams and trying to join up with other people, did you ever consider anything like that to get that ring, to get out of the second round, as you pointed out earlier in this conversation?
No.
Why not?
No. I could have. I actually could have signed with the Lakers back in, I think it was 2004, 2005, take less money and go join Kobe and Shaq. I think that was.
What happened?
I didn't want to do that.
Why?
Because I wanted to go somewhere and be a focal point. It wasn't like that back then. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't guys, you know, being the franchise player going and join other guys like a Shaq and Kobe. Like, we didn't do that. You didn't sacrifice like that back then. That just wasn't the culture of the NBA. would to say would I do have done that if it was back then? Probably so. I mean, but that wasn't our culture as, you know, players back then.
Was there ever a conversation where you told Kobe, I'm not coming? Did that ever happen?
No, no.
Did he ever recruit you or try to get you to do it?
Not while I was in my prime, no. No. Kobe wasn't recruiting anybody back then. No. Are you serious? No, but I mean, we almost formed that dynasty in Orlando, myself, Grant Hill, and Tim Duncan. But it was a deal breaker at dinner with Tim Duncan, Grant Hill, Timmy's, I think it was fiance at the time. And I think she asked Doc Rivers a question about can, you know, the spouse fly on, can family fly on the team plane?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Doc answered that, you know, in a way that she didn't like it. And I think that was the deal breaker. That's the story.
This was over a dinner?
This was over dinner.
Where?
In Orlando.
And this was when? When did
this
that happen?
This was 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's you.
When myself and Grant signed with Orlando.
Yes.
Right. So I was a third recruit, rightfully so. I mean, you had Grant Hill and you had Timmy Duncan mm-hmm. that they were recruiting. And it would have been all three of us had Doc allowed families to fly on that plane.
Do you wish Doc had flown off?
Rich. What? Rich. Are you kidding
ever heard
me?
This before?
No, I have not heard this
before.
Yeah,
I've heard this.
You heard this,
You've
right?
Heard this before? I've never heard this.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is real talk. This is good tea right here.
So were you
on the Rich Eisen show?
We're all about the tea, man.
How many titles for that team?
Oh, man. And you got to think, you know, without Grant Hill, I'm playing against, you know, a Detroit Pistons team that is really freaking good, like one of the best defensive teams.
Right.
And I'm up 3-1 on these guys. Imagine having Tim Duncan on that team.
That's a wrap.
Right? Yeah. In the Eastern Conference at that time.
Well, I mean, I think you're freaking out Spurs fans right now considerably.
With all due respect to Andrew DeClark,
they're
cemented, right?
Five championships. I mean, arguably the greatest power forward of all time. You know, they're good. Greatest coach of all time, Pop. They have a lot to brag about.
Tracy McGrady here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the Ones Basketball League. You have founded this league. It's a one-on-one league. The regional event that's going down, the final regional event for the Ones Basketball League is going down in L.A. this weekend at Pauley Pavilion. So what is this league? What do you want people to know about this league, Tracy?
So I kind of took a page out of, like, UFC's book, right? And when I think about, you know, just untapped talent out here in the basketball world. There's a lot of guys that probably was told that they're not good enough to play certain. And I played with a lot of these guys in the NBA that just can't adapt in the NBA system
mm-hmm.
because they were the man somewhere. You get to an NBA system and then you get put in a corner and you're frustrated and then you start getting mentally ejected from the game and start questioning your own ability. There are guys out here that has NBA talent and skill set. I want to find those guys and have them compete in a one-on-one tournament, put them on a platform and allow them to, you know, display their skill set. Who were the UFC fighters before they got on the UFC platform? We didn't know where these guys come from. Now they're superstars, megastars.
Right.
That's what I'm doing for these basketball players that are really freaking good at one-on-one basketball. And you got to be wired differently to get out there and play one-on-one basketball, just like, you know, fighting.
No doubt about that. So what is the format? How does it work?
So the format is I go to we have been to – this is our sixth city that we've been to. So Saturdays we have 32 players,
mm-hmm.
right? At the end of that Saturdays, these guys will play seven games and we'll take the top eight guys.
Best to 11? Is that what it is or what is it?
No,
the first two.
No.
So
they play to seven.
Play to seven.
Ones and twos. They play to seven.
Okay.
Right? So we'll take the top eight out of that 32 mm-hmm. and play for a championship on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And Sundays go to nine. We have referees. We have rules. There's a 12-second shot clock. There's 10 minutes for each game. So it's not, you know, you guys just not beating each other up. You have 12 seconds, whether you make or miss, change of possession. I don't want guys just playing pickup ball. You miss, get the ball, you know, throwing up shots. We got to control this.
You have to have some standards.
You got to have some standards. You got to control it. So I think the model that I have come up with is really appealing to, you know, somebody that loves basketball to sit down and watch for 2.5 hours. I mean, it's phenomenal of what we put together.
So there are definitely some people out in my listening and viewing audience right now, Tracy, who are like, how can I get involved? How can I get on Tracy McGrady's radar screen to be one-on-one stars?
OBL, OBLHoops.com. We have OBL Twitter. We have OBL Instagram. Like, we're everywhere.
So are you getting, like, reels, tapes, things like that of people saying, hey, look at me here?
We're vetting guys. They're sending their videos in, and I'm hand-picking these guys of who I want to be in my league. And it's some great competition now. Like, really, really good competition out there.
So what is the eventual end game?
Reward?
Yeah.
So, like I said, those 8 guys are playing for a trip to Vegas, the top 3 that we take from each city.
Yes.
The top 1 for each region will win $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So once we identify 18 players, we then go to Vegas, and those guys are playing for $250,000.
And so I imagine, just hearing this, the goal would be to have a guy who goes through this crucible of a league and competition, winds up on the radar screen of a G League or an NBA team, and gets a shot.
Or he could stay at OBL and do it over again. But,
My bad.
But you know what? That'd be.
I just stepped in it. You see, I just stepped in it. Okay. This is a businessman. He's growing a brand. My bad. I apologize.
I'll be nothing more than happy and ecstatic to have someone come out of this league and get a shot at their dream of playing in the NBA.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's all about the opportunity, man. You know, how I got put on to be sitting here today is by opportunity. There's a lot of guys. I grew up in Central Florida, and there was a lot of guys in my area that were really good.
Yeah.
But the difference is with me, I had a guy my 11th grade year come out of nowhere. He had affiliation with Adidas and give me an invite to the Adidas camp, which was the top high school basketball camp with all the elite players. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this, never knew anything about it. I was unknown at this time. So I get the chance to play on this platform, and it changed my life. It changed my life. I went from unknown to the number one player in the country in a summer, right? So it's just all about opportunity, and that's what I want to give these guys. It's just somebody giving them hope and opportunity.
I love it. That is great, man. Yeah. I'm mandated to ask, though, when you get people sending you their stuff, are there, like, weekend warriors that have no business trying for this? And you snap the tape off like you got to be kidding me.
Come on, dude. Like, you have no chance. I could beat you right now, bro. Like, I barely can move. No. Go back to the playground and go back to the gym and work on your game some more.
are you even thinking yourself, though? Your three-point game? Or
well, here's
are you
the deal.
Yourself
I'm in
right
iMovie
now?
Right now, and I'm hitting delete on my submission video.
So you were already on OBLHoops.com.
You're
uploading your video.
Delete. Stuff.
You can't have me. Such a hothead. He once got kicked out of your league once because you threw a basketball at an exit sign.
My type of guy.
Correct.
I kicked the ball twice in the NBA.
Thank you, teammate.
So
did you really?
That's my type of guy. Absolutely. You, it was the night I scored 10,000 points on the Denver Nuggets. I was frustrated. Kicked the ball in the stands. I'm walking to the bench. Juwan Howard has his arm around me. And lo and behold, the fan threw the ball back on the court, and it comes to me. I grabbed it again, and this time I booted it in the second level.
Whoa! What did Juwan say at that point?
He couldn't say nothing. I was done.
He's probably like, wow, that's impressive.
Sometimes that you run
it.
Hot.
That's when you got teed. That's it.
My night was over with.
It was. Hit the showers.
Yeah, nice little fine.
Hit the showers. So who is the best one-on-one player you ever saw? Who's the best one-on-one?
The best one-on-one player is, I mean, by far, is Kobe. Like, that's what he was. He was that type of player. Like, he had all the moves, very dynamic, and you know, we all know how competitive he was.
And that's why he waved Karl Malone off the box in the All-Star game.
I got this.
And yet you didn't want to go play with him.
Tracy. I'm like KD right now, trying to prove that, you know, I don't have to join forces with a juggernaut to win a championship. But looking back, damn, I wish I had.
LAUGHTER
Those first round struggles was bad, man.
It all worked out, Tracy. It all worked out. Everybody check out the Ones Basketball League, oblhoops.com. The tour is taking place in 6 cities across the country. Los Angeles is the final regional event this very weekend at the UCLA Pauley Pavilion. And people can then go to the website and watch the competition as well?
We have it streamed on our Instagram.
On your Instagram? Yeah. Okay, fantastic. At TMAC _213 on Twitter and at TMAC 213 on IG. If you're in the area, I'd like to make this on the regular if you're for it, Tracy McGrady.
Yes, sir.
Certainly if you're spilling tea here.
Spilling a little bit of tea. We might open up a little bit more.
Slight bit of tea being spilled here by Tracy McGrady. Everyone, again, go to oblhoops.com and go check out the OBL sites on social media to check everything out. Congrats on founding this league, and good luck with it. And let's talk some more.
Appreciate you.
Tracy McGrady, Hall of Famer right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Craig Kilborn, my friend from back in the day, is here for Hour 3, too. By the way, we've got a couple of games to play with Craig, who's in our green room right now.
Oh, excellent.
So I'll just reveal. We've got 5 questions, again, a start bench cut, and also 3 incredible questions from our Twitter audience to ask Craig for life advice. This can go anywhere.
Yeah.
The next hour.
Don't move, people.
It's going to be great. Life advice from Craig Kilborn, Lord Kilby, is going to be great. So we've just sent those 3 questions home, and we've got 5 questions for him and start bench cut. Callaway Rogue, ST Driver, you should go check it out right now, because so many golf equipment companies say our drivers have been built to completely bomb it. This truly backs up its play right here. I use them. We all use them here on the program, except for TJ. He doesn't really play golf.
But I would.
The
if I
ST
did.
Stands for Speed Tuned. All 4 offerings of Callaway Rogue ST drivers have been speed tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. I use the Callaway Rogue ST Max. That's the incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. Let's say you need some shot shape correction. I'm not at that level. There's the Max D for the dedicated draw model for you. The Max LS is if you want something more low spin, stronger trajectory, more neutral ball flight. You're watching the U.S. Open. There are tons of Callaway players out there. They're probably using the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS. That's the compact low spin head that the tour players love. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. All right, before Killer comes out here for hour number 3, TJ, you did this so expertly yesterday. We're doing this once a day for the next 7 days because there's 8 NFL divisions. You have come up with the best player in the history of every team in the history of the National Football League.
Yes.
And we're doing it division by division. We did the AFC East yesterday. You came up with Bruce Smith, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, and Joe Namath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in honor of Craig Kilborn, who's from the great state of Minnesota, the NFC North. I need NFL Films music from you, Jay. Go ahead, TJ Jefferson, the floor is yours.
All right, so continuing with this greatest player in franchise history, I'm going to start off with the easiest one. That's Detroit Lions. I'm going to go Barry Sanders.
That's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. No-brainer.
For the Chicago Bears, also pretty tough, but I decided to go with Sweetness, Walter Payton. For the Packers, I mean, you had 3 quarterbacks to choose from.
Aaron Rodgers.
I went with Rodgers over Favre and Starr just because I've seen Aaron Rodgers make passes I don't think anyone else could ever make. The Vikings. Now, Craig's here. He's a Minnesota Viking fan.
We can ask Craig his opinion on this.
It could have been Randy Moss. It could have been Adrian Peterson. It could have been Fran Tarkenton. I went with Alan Page.
I just thought you can go
the Purple People Eaters, what Alan Page did on the field. And I know what you do off the field shouldn't count towards this. But then his career after the football just kind of added to it. But those are my picks right there for the NFC North.
Alan Page is, because again, when we were coming up with this endeavor, you even asked yesterday, Chris, like, is it going to be all quarterbacks?
Yeah, that's what I was,
And I told you.
And I'm like, you know what? You can go some franchise's defense, and I mentioned the Vikings as one of them. Mm-hmm. Alan Page is not a bad, I mean, Carl Eller also is in the Hall of Fame. You could have gone in his direction.
You know what, John Randall.
You know what gave Alan Page the nod, though, guys?
Mm.
Hall of Fame's in Canton, Ohio, right?
Yep.
Do you realize that Alan Page once worked on the construction crew of the Hall of Fame.
You know who helped also dig the foundation for it, too, was Dan Dierdorf.
Really?
I did not know that. Yes, Dierdorf also did that and made it into the Hall of Fame himself as well. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest Packer of all time.
I would have went Bart Starr, I think.
I would have gone Bart Starr, too, but Favre and Rodgers' numbers are insane.
Yeah. I mean, look, that was a tough
career
one.
Numbers are and insane.
The fourth MVP.
That's what kind of put it over, because my initial was Bart Starr.
But I understand that you make Namath the greatest Jet of all time.
Well, that was just
the number
I didn't
of great Packers
you.
That there have been since then, and even at the quarterback position, it would be tough to name Bart Starr to this day as the greatest Packer of all time.
Kind of,
but you
way.
Could still make that argument. And here's my argument for Bart Starr too. There are very few resume lines in the world quite like Bart Starr's. MVP of Super Bowls one.
And
two.
Yeah. The ice bowl.
That's kind of like Neil Armstrong. I was the first to walk on the moon. You know what I mean? Like, go beat that resume line.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the...
It was tough.
I don't equate playing football in terms of going to the moon. But I'm just saying...
I've seen people, like, hit so
the
hard...
Super
they
Bowl
the
will forever be the American sports event. And he was the first MVP of the Super Bowl and then was the first to go back to back. And he did it in the first two.
After he had won a bunch of NFL championships.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Previously. Correct. Correct.
Look, if Packers fan, and like I said, that one was the toughest one. Yeah. If you feel Bart Starr is there, throwing my hands up. I'm not going to argue with anybody out there. Like you. Yeah. And by the way, it could have very easily been Bart Starr. It just came down to the fact that Aaron Rodgers I've seen do crazy stuff.
I also kind of dig the fact that as we go about this over the next week, that you've named a current player. He might wind up being the only one. Oh, no, Brady is still current.
Brady's still current. Oh, yeah. He'll probably be at least.
He'll be current player long after maybe Rodgers is done, too. All right, folks.
I'm glad you liked it.
Craig Kilborn is here.
Names today.
Craig Kilborn is here. Hour three in studio.
Are we drinking?
I don't have any alcohol.
We got.
Unless the Magic 8 Ball have some in it, we
can
crack it
open. We got Broken Skull beer in the fridge.
I don't think Craig's his first selection is beer.
I agree with you. It's probably not.
I think it goes martini, wine. Actually, I think that is one of the. I shouldn't say this out loud. I think that is one of the questions for life advice asking Craig.
Oh, is it?
About
I was going to do a start bench cut about that, but then I got away from it.
Okay.
I figured it was just obvious.
Plus, you know, one of the reasons why I reached out to him, it's been 3 years since he was here. But also, he's a diehard fan of the association.
Yep.
It came to a head.
It's over. Season's over.
Wow.
Wow. Dang it.
The draft is next Thursday.
Yeah.
Draft is a week from yesterday.
Excited.
You are?
Full coverage on the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast next week.
Okay. What are you planning?
It's still effort.
Are you talking about?
To be honest, we haven't discussed it at all.
DJ, come on, man.
Have you not at all?
What, next week?
No, you haven't talked about the draft at all yet?
I mean, we've been so into the finals.
Up in the finals.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Very good. So and then right around the corner is the new league year. Right after that.
Free agency.
And then comes the you already see they're running ads for the summer league. The NBA has taken a page from the National Football League. Yep. Year-round content.
Hashtag this league.
The league that an NBA owner once famously said it's going to be a hog led to slaughter.
He was talking about a different league, but
he's talking about the NFL.
Yeah.
Which the NBA has taken a page from.
Can't beat them, join them.
Although the NFL takes forever to get to their draft.
Yeah.
And has an entire talent evaluation portion.
They want to
have a summer league around it, around these kids.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we'll talk about that next week.
The NBA combine isn't as big as the NFL combine, obviously, but summer league is much bigger than anything the NFL.
Well,
has.
There's no three-cone drills. The NBA needs a three-cone drill. Well, maybe they have that. I can't imagine 7 foot people running a three cone drill. That would be bad.
Well, if you watch Hustle, you get to see what Bo Cruz got to
Hustle,
work out. So
NBA Combine's big at Hustle.
You also don't need a vertical leap. You don't need a vertex.
Nope. All right, let's go.
Craig Kilborn.
Kill me.
Look at that. I love that.